Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then they read these next two verses, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they say, see, one is taken in the rapture and the other is left, just like Noah was taken in the ark and then the rest of the people were left, and so on. And they do not read this correctly. Let's try it again ourselves. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took who away? Took them all away. Obviously, the people he referred to were the people who were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. In other words, the ones who did not listen to Noah, the ones who did not enter into the ark, were the ones that were taken. The wicked were taken away. And being taken away in that context meant what? It meant destroyed. Because those who were taken away at the time of Noah were drowned in the flood. They were destroyed. So when we read 39 through 41, this is the time, obviously, of Christ's return, the time of the removal of the wicked. And as I mentioned last week, it's about time some of these preachers began preaching on the rapture of the wicked, because it's the wicked who are going to be gathered together in bundles for the burning and removed from the earth, just as the wicked at the time of Noah were destroyed. Now, Noah was saved, but of course Noah was not taken off into heaven. Noah was placed in an ark, a place of protection, and he lived right through the time of the destruction of the wicked, just as we, God willing, will live through the time of the destruction of the wicked in this end of the age. But without exception, the rapture teachers take that, just like they take so many passages, and they misteach them. They turn God's words around, and they make them mean something which they do not mean. Turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23. This whole chapter is spoken to and about the pastors. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Now you should read all of that, because it is an end time condemnation of the shepherds, the pastors, the ones who stand before God's people Israel and deceive them and destroy them by false teaching. In verse 30, it says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And you think on that. This is literally what is done. The minister, instead of standing before the congregation and giving them God's word and the plain meaning of it, preaches God's word and then steals the meaning from the people. The result is that the people are ignorant, and in many cases not only are ignorant of what God says, but they actually believe that God said something that he didn't say. And that, of course, is mentioned in verse 21 of the same chapter. God says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And good evidence that these people are the majority of the prophets in Israel today is the next verse. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. The very fact that God's people in Christendom are not turning from their wicked ways is proof that the ministers are not preaching God's word. Because God said if they had, then they would have. But he said, I didn't send them, but they went anyway. Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. In other words, they preach as if they are preaching God's word, but they lie about what God said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness, or by their falseness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now I'm going to read in these next verses, and we're going to compare some other scripture and see if I can show you what that man of sin is, and perhaps some of you have already guessed it is not necessarily one individual. It has a greater meaning than that. And if you're taking notes, you can write down some of these phrases just to think on them as we go back and forth in the scripture. First of all, he is called the man of sin and the son of perdition. The word perdition is a Greek word which is translated in some cases destruction. It literally means son of destruction. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So here are several other things which we can use to identify the man of sin. He opposes God, he exalts himself above God, he actually sits in the temple of God, and remember when I'm talking about that, the temple of God is your body. We're not talking about some physical temple. There also is a manifestation of the temple of God, which is Israel. God said, I will dwell in Israel. Israel is God's sanctuary. So there is a greater temple made up of the entire Israel people, also called the temple of God. And this man of sin sits in that temple, and he shows himself, or is showing himself, as God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told ye these things. So those people had been taught in this. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Something was withholding or holding up the revelation, but there is a time for him to be revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth, that should read, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. So here Paul says, the mystery of iniquity already works. Not talking about something future. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So here is another title called the wicked, and it's something that Jesus will consume with his word and will destroy with his coming. So this is again a prophecy of its destruction. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, or in the old English it would say whose coming is like the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So he is coming, this man of sin, and doing works like unto that which Satan would do. And he has power, and he does signs and lying wonders. Now, lying wonders in the scripture is a phrase used several times to mean something which is a lie, but which is believed by the people. You know, people tell lies, and if you know they're lying, it's no wonder, because it has not deceived you. But a lying wonder is something taught by someone that is believed by the people. Okay, now let's establish a few things regarding Antichrist. Turn with me to 1 John, and we will read from John what is sin. Because remember, this man is called the man of sin. And also what is Antichrist, because the fundamentalists tell us the man of sin is an Antichrist. They say this is the Antichrist, the one person, the great being, who will come and rule at the end of this age over a world depopulated of Christians. 1 John 3 in the epistle and verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So if we were to read the Bible, and by the way, this might be a good thing for all of us to do, whenever you read the New Testament or the Old Testament, substitute the phrase transgression of the law for the word sin. One thing it will do will help you overcome the lying wonder of the ministers who tell you Jesus put away the law. Because wherever it tells you not to sin, it in effect says not to transgress the law. And so this man of sin would be literally a man of transgression of the law. A man of transgression of the law. John goes on to explain further. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. He that committeth transgression of the law is of the devil. We saw the man of sin would come after the working of Satan. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, this is one of the main truths of the New Testament. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and the devil is the one who is the transgressor of the law, or the sinner. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Remember, I said there are two different kinds of people. We're talking about the saved versus the man of sin. The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he who does righteousness would be what? Of the children of God. Those who do unrighteousness would be of Satan. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Remember, Jesus did not tell us that there was only one commandment. He said there are two. Love the brethren, love your brother as yourself, and then the greater commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, and that could be translated commandment. For this is the commandment that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? And here's the reason Cain slew Abel, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So here is the reason why the unrighteous, the men who are of Satan, slay other people, because their works are wicked, and the other people's works are righteous. They do not slay the unrighteous, they slay the righteous. This is what John is explaining here. And he gives Cain as an example of what will happen when we see the manifestation, the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. The children of the devil, being the children of unrighteousness, will slay the righteous because they are righteous. Now, one of the works of the devil, of course, will always be that, and we'll see that has a greater meaning in this identification of the man of sin. It is the devil's purpose to slay all of whom? The children of God. The children of righteousness, as it were. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. We can prove who are the children of God if they believe on Jesus and love the brethren or love the Christian believers. The children of that wicked one or the children of the devil would be those who deny Jesus and hate the followers of Jesus. In this are they made manifest, made known. You can find out who is who, if you please. All right, let's go back to 1 John 2 in verse 18 and read about the Antichrist. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, and brother, don't we hear that today? This is in effect, as far as prophecy is concerned, is the great message of the preachers today. Antichrist shall come. John says, you've heard this, and he's writing 1900 years ago. They must have been preaching that. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The last time must have begun a long time ago, right? Over 1900 years ago, John said it is the last time. We know it because there are what? Many Antichrists. He says in verse 22, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that means whether he is one, several, a hundred, or a million, or millions, he is Antichrist. Chapter 4 and verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. I know you very seldom, if ever, hear those verses read by the people who preach the rapture, because their doctrine that the Antichrist is yet future is destroyed by John's very simple explanation that those who deny Jesus are here already, plural, many, and it is proof that it is the last time. Now, they're identified to some extent in verse 19. He has already said, you have heard that Antichrist should come. Even now there are many Antichrists, and here's who they are, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And you know, John used that word us about four times in there. We know that John was an Israelite. We know that for practical purposes, all of the Christians, the converts, the followers of Jesus Christ, at the time that John wrote this letter, were Israelites. So what is John saying? He said, they went out from we Israelites because they were not of we Israelites. They were not of us. And something had to take place that would separate them from the Israelites so that they would be known as what? As Antichrists. And this had already taken place, or at least was beginning to take place, at the time that John wrote the letter. Now turn with me back to the book of Acts. I have a whole sermon on this, so I'm going to just recap it briefly. But there are, according to the book of Acts and according to the Gospels also, two kinds of Jews in the Bible. Now remember that the word Jews in the New Testament is translated from the Greek word which means Judeans. In every case, it literally is a geographic name. They were called Judeans because they dwelt in Judea, Jerusalem, and so on. This was the ancient land of Judah, and the Greek word means literally Judeans, but the King James translators have translated it Jews. So let's read just a few of these, which seem to be confusion, but is actually the evidence that what John said in his letter was beginning to take place at the time of Christ and after. Acts 13 and verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Here are Jews who believe. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Here Jews hate what Paul and these men are preaching. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, are Jews, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So here are Jews in unbelief. Very confusing. And this is in there about a dozen times. You will find the mention, it says, Jews believed. A few verses further on, as the Jews took up stones to kill them. You find the same thing in the Gospels. Jesus preached, some of the Jews believed, some of them tried to kill him, and they're all called Jews. In Acts 20, we find that the Jews tried to kill Paul. In Acts 21, verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews were which of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. In chapter 23 and verse 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Here's how much they hated him. They said, we will neither eat nor drink until we kill this man who's doing what? Preaching Jesus. Now what was happening? Actually, as you read the book of Acts, you find that what was happening, a division was taking place. The Israelites who lived in Judea were being converted to Jesus Christ. The Canaanites who lived in Judea and were also called Jews were being turned away from Christ and were attempting to kill his followers. This is what John was writing about when he said, they went out from us so that it would be manifest they were not of us. They were not Israelites. When Ezra and Nehemiah came back from Babylon, of course, Canaanites lived in the area of Jerusalem. We know from history that Herod was an Edomite. And we know from history that most of the Pharisees were Edomites. They were Canaanites. They were not Israelites. But there had to come a division. The division was Jesus and His Word and the disciples and their preaching. We read in Acts 11:26, and the disciples, meaning the disciples of Jesus, were first called Christians in Antioch. So the Israelites had a name change. And you know, if we could just get some of our fundamentalist friends apprised of that one very important place in history. Israel was called Judean because they lived in Judah, in the land of Judea. They were called Jews simply because the English translators used the word Jew for the word Judean. But after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the disciples began to preach, the name of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, was changed. It was no longer Judean, Jew, or Israel. It was Christian. And why was it Christian? Well, it was simply a fulfillment of prophecy of Numbers 6. Verse 22 and on, you know these verses very well, all except one of them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, see and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they all quit reading there. The next verse says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. What people in the world today have been named by the name of Christ? The people of Christendom, Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples. The only race in all of the world who turned and even named their nations after the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of prophecy. And it took place 1900 years ago. Israel, no longer known as Israel, known by the name of their God. Christians living in what? In Christendom, in Christ's dominion. In Isaiah 65, God is speaking to the enemies of Israel and to His enemies, and they're identified as such in the first verses of that chapter. And then God says to these enemies in verse 14 and 15, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. One of the most amazing identities of who Israel is today is the very fact that God said he would name Israel after his name, and here we are. And the ministers all come along and say, oh, they're a bunch of Gentiles. These people who have the ancient name of Israel, Jew, why, they're the Israelites. No, my friend, that is not true. It is false according to the Bible. Now turn with me to the 10th chapter of John, and let's make a few more comparisons between what we read in that subject passage in 2 Thessalonians. In John 10, starting in verse 14, Jesus is speaking, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now there are two things in this little passage. Jesus said, my sheep will hear me, and he said that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus told us several times in the Gospels that he had not come but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. But the ministers say, oh no, Israel didn't hear his voice. 1900 years later, they're not Christians because they didn't hear the voice of God. But God said, Israel will hear my voice. Verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. What was happening? The same thing began under Jesus that we read in the book of Acts and that John was writing about. The Judeans were being divided. The Jews were being divided. The Israelites among the Judeans were coming out and being renamed with their new name. The Antichrist, the Canaanites, the Edomites among the Judeans retained the name of Jew and remained Antichrist and did not hear his word. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The one answer was from the Canaanite, the other, of course, from the Israelite. A little later, he said in verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Jesus said to some of the Jews, you don't believe me, not because I don't preach the truth, not because I'm not the Son of God. You don't believe me because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, either Jesus was a liar, or he was saying something that he hoped would come to pass, and it never came to pass, or the Anglo-Saxon, white, Nordic peoples of Europe are the Israel people of the Bible. There's no other way you can interpret what Jesus said. Either the people who have answered the call of the gospel are Israel, or Jesus was mistaken. You can preach it whichever way you want, and of course some ministers have made their statement. Turn over to Acts 26 again, because this is about 25 or more years later, after what we just read of Jesus saying to some of the Jews, that you believe not because you're not of my sheep. About a quarter of a century later, Paul has been taken captive and is being sent to Rome, and he's been brought before King Agrippa, and he's asked to state his case. Acts 26, starting in verse 2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now remember, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, are no longer called Jews. They're already called, what? Christians. So he's saying, I'm being accused of these people who are still called Judeans. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. Paul says, these Jews know that back when I was young, which would have been 25 years before that or more, I followed the religion of the Pharisees. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. In other words, Paul has now come to the place where he's being accused for preaching the hope of the Israel fathers, that God had given to the Israel fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. What was he saying? He says the 12 tribes are serving God day and night. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of who? The Canaanites who still retain the name Jew. He was not being accused by a rebellious Israel. He said the 12 tribes are already serving God. But I'm accused of preaching the hope of the 12 tribes. I am accused of the Jews. Turn back to John 10. For Jesus had more to say to the Jews or the Judeans, again, giving the division which John wrote in his epistle years later, talking about they went out from us because they were not of us. Something had to take place so that the Antichrist would be manifested for what they were, not Israelites. John 10. And as I read this, remember now that the man of sin opposes God. John 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. John 11 and verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. They discussed the problem. And in verse 53, Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Verse 57, Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So the division was literally complete, at least in the city of Jerusalem. It was not complete in all Judea until the years following, as we saw in the book of Acts. Now again, I can't give you all of the evidence here, but I have a tract titled, Who Killed Christ? If you've not read it, you should read it in conjunction with this Bible study. Because we are told by practically every preacher and religious writer in America today that the Romans put Jesus on the cross. That is not true, and I have proven it from the Scripture. The Gospels make it very plain that it was the Pharisees themselves who hung Jesus on the cross and drove the nails into his hands and his feet. It was not Roman soldiers. And you should read that in relation to this study. Turn again to 2 Thessalonians. Keep your finger in 2 Thessalonians and also in John 8. We're going to read back and forth. 2 Thessalonians verse 8 says, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. In other words, who does the work like unto that which Satan would do, with all power and signs and lying wonders. In John 8, Jesus is talking to the Jewish Pharisees, whom we have already seen are the ones who denied Jesus, fought against him, killed him, and retained the name Jew. Their name was not changed to Christian. John 8, verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now remember, Jesus said of his sheep, They will hear my voice. Now he's saying to the Jewish Pharisees, If God were your father, you would love me. Right? You'll hear my voice if God were your father. Verse 43, Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Or that could have been translated, the desires of your father. You will do that which the devil desires to have done. In plain, simple, modern English was what he said. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. A few more verses, which you hardly ever hear from the pulpits of America today. That Jesus told the Jewish Pharisees in Palestine in plain, simple words, You are not Israelites. You are not of God. You cannot, you will not hear my word. In other words, you will never become Christians. The evangelists tell us, oh, we need to raise money and translate all of the tracts into Hebrew and take them to Palestine because we have this great ministry to the Jews and they're being converted to Jesus by the thousands. That is all lies according to my Bible. Jesus Christ said they cannot hear my word. Any minister who tells you that a modern-day Jew, descendant of the Pharisees of old, can be converted to Jesus is lying according to plain teaching of the Word of God. Now, that may sound rather terrible in the sight of our modernism and our ecumenism and our Methodist church that hires Jewish rabbis to teach their children the Old Testament, and others that ordain Jews to teach. Moody Bible Institute hires Jewish rabbis to teach the students in their seminaries. God forgive us for what we have done in denying the plain word of Jesus. Now, these people are Antichrist. They are of their father the devil. They cannot hear Jesus' word. In fact, he said, there is no truth in you. Which means what? That everything a descendant of the Jewish Pharisees teaches, even though he claims to be a Christian, is a lie. They are fulfilling everything spoken of in the prophecies to be fulfilled by the Antichrist or the man of sin. The Saved versus the Man of Sin. Part 4, our subject passage is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Very plain language that the man of sin, called in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity, verse 8, that wicked one, would be revealed prior to the return of Jesus Christ. And I must emphasize this. The common teaching of the evangelists, the Pentecostal people, and most denominations today is that Jesus is going to come first, take the Christian believers off the earth to heaven, and then the man of sin will be revealed, and they call him the Antichrist. Now, we're identifying this man of sin not as one person, but as we discussed last week, as collectively what is known as the Antichrist Jews. The people known as Jews today who are not Israelites, and I believe most of you already know that, but are actually descendants of Esau, Edom, and Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. The great battle we see today is the descendants of Esau attempting to take back that birthright. They're trying to steal from true Jacob Israel the birthright that they sold, or their ancestor sold to Jacob so long ago. Part of their attempt to steal that birthright back is by masquerading and presenting themselves as Israel. Most of you know the physics theorem, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So that's what we are doing. We are making comparisons in the Scripture about the man of sin. That whatever the Scripture says about the man of sin, and if we check other versions or other verses of Scripture and passages, we find that other things in the Scripture have the same prophecies. If the same thing is going to happen to one as to the other, then they probably are the same thing. So turn with me to the Gospel of John again, and keep your finger in 2 Thessalonians, because we've been reading some of the verses or statements about the man of sin, and then comparing what Jesus Christ said to the Jewish Pharisees. In verse 9, of course, it said that they would do signs or have lying wonders. And as I explained last time, lying wonder really is something that someone would do that is false or a lie, but people would believe it. And we are just now beginning to see evidence that the greatest lying wonder of the Jewish Pharisees is they're convincing multitudes of our people that they are not the Pharisees, but they are Israel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So these people connected with, or who are, the man of sin, that wicked, did not receive the love of truth. Now, that's what we just read about the Jewish Pharisees. Jesus said his word, which was truth, had no part in them. They wouldn't believe it. And the reason they wouldn't believe it is because it was the truth. So, again, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Now, turn to John 10. In verse 26, Jesus again speaking to the Jewish Pharisees, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So Jesus again makes it plain that those who are of Israel, those who are of God, will hear the voice of Jesus. They will become Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And now I should add, I suppose, so you don't misunderstand me here, Jesus did not say, "You will all become sinless, born-again Christians, and do no evil." In fact, Israel was prophesied to turn away from God and to break His laws and so on. But, amazingly enough, the whole nations of what we would know of the Nordic people of Western and Northern Europe claim Jesus Christ as their God. Some of us believe that there is proof in this when we find a great national disaster coming upon our people, and what do? In spite of all of their sin and corruption, the political leaders call